We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM, or 100.7 FM is another one of the frequencies for WWBC. Whether you're listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE or 10:30 of a morning on WWBC, maybe you're listening on demand, maybe you're listening live on the WMIEFM.com website. However you are accessing this program, we want to say good morning to you, good day to you. Hope that you are having a blessed day in the Lord. We want to start off today by saying thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, their phone number is 632-9538. 632-9538. If you can benefit from their services, I know that they will be a blessing to your life, whether you need them to check on your AC to make sure it's working for the heat that will be coming before too long, or whether you need to have them check your heater just in case we get another cold blast or two, or whether you have electrical issues. Anywhere in the county, they can work on regular units such as the air handler and the exterior unit, or package units or mobile home units. They can do just about whatever you need accomplished, and so I encourage you to give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast, and they will get you fixed up and back in good working order. I want to remind you about our Wednesday night service, special service tonight. It's about godly relationships. We're going to be focusing on that during the month of February. We also have our missions banquet. We call it our I Love Missions Banquet. A lot of people focus on romantic love and all that sort of stuff. My daughter gets a little upset with me from time to time when I start commenting on the negative pictures of love that is being promoted and in our society right now, and that's supposed to be the standard, and it's horrible. It's horrible. And so, I try not to make, she doesn't like me to send the day off and onto the horizon having, spoken what is, some people's reality and commenting about that. She just doesn't even want that picture in her head. So I'm blessed to have two wonderful young ladies for daughters, and a beautiful young lady for a daughter-in-law, a handsome son, and the world's most adorable grandbaby. So I am blessed in those relationships, but we're going to be focusing on godly relationships in the month of February, as well as our I Love Missions Banquet. We elevated, instead of focusing on romantic love in the February, we chose to elevate that to a love for people's souls. And that's what our I Love Missions Banquet is all about. That'll be coming up on February the 19th. Want to remind you, this coming Sunday night, we also have the football viewing party. It's going to be an outreach event. It's going to be at our church and in our sanctuary. There's going to be a wing contest. There's going to be a prize for that. It starts at 6 o'clock. The football game starts at 6:30. There's going to be other food besides chicken wings as well. There's going to be a prize for the person that brings the best homemade wings or the best personally made wings. You can't just go to Publix and pick up the spicy wings and bring those in and those are going to win. That's not going to cut it. We have those a lot. We're going to be able to tell. Okay? And so, be a prize for the best wings. There's also going to be a prize drawn from when everybody comes in that night. They're going to be able to write down who they think is going to win. The team that they pick, their entry will go into the bucket. And whichever team wins, we will draw one name from that bucket, and that person will receive a prize for picking the winning team. And it's not going to be the Green Bay Packers this year. I know you're all very disappointed about that, but anyway, we're going to have a good time and encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Let's get back to the Word of God today. We were here yesterday. I was going to talk about two aspects from verse number 15, but I was unsuccessful in getting through both of them. I wanted to focus on yesterday's broadcast about that. I will make you an eternal excellence. I will make, and so let me drop back to verse number 15. We're going to read verses 15 and 16. And here's what it says. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So he says, don't worry about your current spiritual condition. Don't worry about the fact that other people have abandoned you. Don't worry. Don't get fixated on the fact that they have hated you. Their past treatment of you will not prevent me from making you what I want you to be, which is an eternal excellence. So I don't care what your position at work is. I want you to begin praying, God, would you make me better at my job than what I have been? God, I want you to elevate the standard. We're going to be talking about God elevating things in our life here as we go through the rest of this chapter. We're going to be talking about him elevating the provision, elevating the quality and the manner in which we do things. And so you can't imprison yourself on the way that other people have treated you. A lot of people, once they get hurt, once they get wounded, then they shut themselves off. They imprison themselves. Like we talked about earlier in this chapter, they shut the gates to the city and they become the prisoner. Can I tell you what happens a minute? I've seen this happen in my own life, is there have been people who have done horrible things to me, and they went on with their merry way. They didn't even realize what they had done for years and years and years. And so if you get hung up on that, the devil will see, his goal is not to be victimized once. Once you're victimized, it's like a scam artist that once you've been scammed, then they will try and scam you again to try and correct this previous scam. The devil wants you victimized over and over and over and over again. Many people get trapped accepting, well, this is good enough. Maybe I am just a little bit, you know, unreasonable, I guess, but I believe that God deserves the very best. I believe that it is not unreasonable to expect that there are going to be more souls that are saved than are currently being saved. Maybe it's unreasonable to expect that when God says that he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life, for all to come to repentance, that I believe that he must have a plan to use the saints to accomplish that. I believe it is not unreasonable for me to say, you know what? I want to do my job as pastor to the best of my ability so that when people see me, I believe that it is not an unreasonable thing for me to say that when I do the radio broadcast, that maybe I could do it better than what I did when I started 3.5 years ago. And maybe I can do it better a year from now than I'm doing it currently right at this point in time. You see, I believe in God's transformative capabilities a lot more than what other people have done or thought of me or the way that they've treated me in the past. And so he says, I will make you an eternal excellence, and I love this, a joy of many generations. And I've got this written down for the end part of verse number 15. He will make you a multi-generational joy. A multi-generational joy. There's a commercial on television that I loathe it. I absolutely hate it. It's a commercial of grandparents who were sitting there, and they're all excited because their kids and their grandkids are going to come home, and all of a sudden they read a social networking post of their granddaughter that says, she's going into the land of non-existence, otherwise known as grandma and grandpa's house, because they don't have internet. And so, well, obviously they've got some. And so the grandparents say, well, the best way for us to make this a great experience is to acquiesce to what she wants. And so when they walk in the door, surprise, there's all of the television and all of the internet capabilities and all of the downloadable, past episodes that you can have. And so you can be just as socially isolated from grandma and grandpa at their house than you are when you're 1,000 miles away from them. And I just don't like that commercial. It's not that I don't believe that grandparents and grandkids should get along. I believe that there should be I believe that God wants to make me a person that can relate to people of whatever generation it might be, and to do so in a manner that they are going to want the joy that I have going on in my life. But the way to do that is not to lower the standards. Listen, whenever somebody is a miserable, unhappy person, they are going to be a miserable, unhappy person until Jesus transforms their life. So they're not the ones that gets to set the standard. The person that gets to set the standard is the one who died upon the cross to save my soul and took away my burdens and left me joy in the place of fear and worry and apprehension and anxiety and hatefulness and all of that stuff, took away anger and gave me peace. That's the person that caused me to be filled with joy. And the more that you hang around with a person of joy, the more joy you are going to have. I told you that commercial. Now I want to tell you about a different commercial. This was actually a social experiment where a guy went onto a subway train in a major city, and subway cars, for people who make that commute, they're basically large elevators. And people, when they get on an elevator, they see that they're in a closed, confined area, and especially in a large metropolitan area, they just don't want to have a conversation with you. And so everybody just kind of stands there while you're moving up and down from floor to floor, and there's no dialogue, there's no conversation or anything like this. So there's not a lot of people talking. The only people would be talking would be people who you happen to be making the journey with. So this guy gets on this subway car, and he pretends like he is watching a video, and everybody's got their earbuds in, and nobody's talking to one another, and everybody's just kind of ignoring one another. And all of a sudden, this guy just starts laughing. He's acting as if he is laughing to something that he is seeing on the video of his telephone. And all of a sudden, people begin to give him these really curious looks because they can't believe that there is anything that is going on in his world that is so funny that he should be laughing as uncontrollably as he is. And he laughs and he laughs and he laughs. And the more he laughs, pretty soon it has become so prolonged that now other people aren't looking at him with curiosity. Now they're smiling at him. Now they begin to laugh themselves, and the entire car is now filled with all of these people laughing about how much this other guy is laughing about something that is going on that only he knows about. So in our family, it is my wife that if she, something tickles her funny bone, if something strikes her as humorous, it could have been 3 years ago and it struck her as funny then, and all of a sudden you start bringing it up again. She could be that guy. I have seen it with my very own eyes that a person that is having so much joy experientially in their life can transform an entire group of people. What if you and I were so thankful for the provision of God? Could the provision be better? Absolutely. We're going to talk about that on a future broadcast. But if you've seen what he's done for you before, you know that he doesn't change and that he sets you up to succeed and not to fail, then you can laugh. Listen, right now, if the devil is launching his most vicious assault on you that he has ever launched, I want you to begin to rejoice, not because of the assault, but because of the futility that is coming, that the enemy is going to experience, because God said he would be your shield and your fortress, your ever-present help in time of trouble. And you know that God is going to take you and make something glorious out of this. Listen, the devil's curses are not more powerful than God's blessings. God's blessings turn the devil's curses into something that he is going to glorify his name. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul wrote that to the Philippians. He had started his ministry in Philippi. Then he ended up getting beaten in Philippi, thrown into jail in Philippi, had a miraculous deliverance in Philippi, and led more people to Jesus. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I pray that you and I, that we would be people of multi-generational joy, that the joy that we have would be contagious with no matter what age group that we come in contact with. Listen, kids want joy, not suffering. And I want you to know, almost every adult that I've ever known would rather have a joyous experience instead of a miserable experience. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's not just a truth at Christmas time. It is a truth all year long. So maybe today, on this Wednesday, we could do a little bit of reflection and saying, God, am I a person of joy to the extent that I need to be? Or do you need to overhaul my life the way that you did David? David prayed, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Okay, listen to how verse 16 goes. It says, it concludes like this. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Okay, he said, you shall know me. God is a God that wants to be known. He wants to be known as the Lord, the sovereign one, the self-existent one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He wants you to know that he's the one that sits upon the throne and he's not going anyplace. God's not sick. He's not on life support. His skills are not diminished. His stature has not shrunk. He is still sovereign. His mental faculties are still just as keen as they ever were. He still pays attention to detail, numbering the hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. He's the Lord. He says, I want you to know me that way, but I want you to also know that I am your Savior, that I bring salvation. I see a lot of trucks as I'm driving throughout the community. And, you know, if I see a Pepsi truck, I expect that they're bringing Pepsi Cola products to the stores. And if it happens to be, a beverage truck, I suspect that they're bringing Pepsi and Mountain Dew. I believe they're bringing the products that are associated with that brand. And yet the devil has managed to convince most of society that when God comes into your life, that he brings you things that are contrary to the things that God has. Look, God brings salvation, and God brings healing. God brings hope. God brings forgiveness. He brings mercy. He wants you to know that he is your Savior. Not just Savior, but he's your Savior. And so I pray that your relationship with God would not be a distant relationship or a strained relationship, but as you allow him to rule and reign supreme, that you will know that he's telling you, I'm here and I'm here for you. For you. There are a lot of aspects to pastoring into the ministry that most people will never know and they will never understand. And there's really no sense in even trying to communicate it. I will tell you this, if you think it is all glorious and people patting you on the back and telling you how wonderful you are, that's a pretty simplistic, naive point of view. There are plenty of challenges. And I have come to realize that the more that I understand and appreciate his lordship, that I will know that he is there as my Savior. He is still the Lord who saves. That's basically what the name Jesus means. It's the Lord who saves. He's still in the salvation business. And so you and I need to appreciate the fact that he's in the salvation business. And your Redeemer, he's not only there to bring your deliverance, but as the Redeemer, he is the one who pays the price. He's the one that is in charge of the transaction. And so when I am dealing with a challenge in the area of provision, I can look to him and I can say, God, you are not only Lord, you are my Savior, and you are my Redeemer. You are the one who made this possible. So, how do I want to say this? If you didn't pay the price, then you're not the one that's in control. I know that things are flipped on their head in a lot of places in society right now, but I am of the mindset that if I paid the price for something, that it is something that I should be able to claim as my own. That's kind of the way that I've looked at that. I know that, you know, with different value systems and things like that, that a lot of people view things as their right and somebody else should pay the price for them to do this. There's a very funny video out there. This might get me in trouble with the younger generation, but it's along the lines of the sponsorship programs, and it's called Adopt a Millennial. And so if you want to look at it, you can look at it. Maybe you'll think it's as funny as I do, because there are a lot of people who don't understand that, you know, there's some responsibilities with maturing and growing up. Spiritually, the only way that we can survive is the fact that we've got a Redeemer. So I don't want to beat that horse too much. I want to conclude with this. He is the Mighty One of Jacob. He was the mighty one of Jacob. God is omnipotent. He is the most powerful entity in the universe. He is more powerful than all the assembled armies of the earth. He is more powerful than the most influential politician. He is more powerful than the richest people on the planet. He is more powerful than those who are famous. He is more powerful than any weapon that hell has to offer. And I particularly like what it says here. He's the mighty one of Jacob. Now, I want you to know this is referring to people who are walking in covenant with him. But he could have said, I am the mighty one of Abraham. He could have said, I am the mighty one of Isaac. But Jacob had issues. Jacob had struggles. Jacob had integrity issues. He was a schemer. He was a defrauder. He was a person who would do whatever he could to gain an advantage over somebody. He defrauded his brother out of his birthright, defrauded him out of his blessing as the oldest of the two children. But he had an encounter with God. And he entered into a covenant with God. And God entered into a covenant with Jacob. And he loved Jacob so much that he didn't leave him a schemer and a defrauder, but he changed his name to Israel, the Prince of God. Today, I want you to know, as a child of God, you are a prince or a princess, depending upon whether you're male or female. And your father is the king. And he's not an old, decrepit, feeble king sitting upon a throne. He is omnipotent. Today, may you experience the joy of the Lord. May you know him as the Lord. May you know him as your Savior. May you know him as the Redeemer, the one who has paid the price for you. And may you know him experientially as the mighty one who transformed you from what you used to be in the mess of a person you were into a person of excellence. May he be your mighty one today in Jesus' name. God, have your way in us today. Make us a people of joy. Make us a people who know you as Savior, Redeemer, Lord, and our mighty one. In Jesus' name. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.